Greetings. This is Robert Marsh, and you're listening to Philly Has Heart podcast. In this podcast, we sit down with artists, gallerists, educators, curators, and other creatives who comprise the Philadelphia art world to discuss upcoming performances, exhibits, and other events and initiatives that are not to be missed. The art scene in Philadelphia is so rich that it can seem daunting. Consider this your weekend cultural recommendation. With me always is my producer, Lucinda Degerland.
Hello, hello. And today we are actually going to do a mini-sode. In order to better get to know our host here, Robert T. Marsh. It is T, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay. I am going to ask him a series of questions. Robert.
Yes, Lucinda.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I guess I am.
Buckle up.
Yes.
Okay. We know how you got involved with the Philadelphia Ballet. But how did you get involved with the Philadelphia Museum of Art?
The Philadelphia Museum of Art was my first entrance into the art world. And so my friend, again, Danielle, introduced me.
Is this Danielle Hankin?
Yes, it is.
Shout out.
Shout out. It was an arts fundraiser at the Philadelphia Museum of Art where we would have a fundraising gala for the Young Friends each year. And so, as we had spoken of before, it's now turned into artish, right? Mm. Before that, it was kind of like a black tie, dress up, sit down dinner fundraising event for the Young Friends and the Art Museum, where we would like take over the grand staircase and just have a great party. And over the years, it has, you know, grown and changed since then. But Danielle brought me to my first meeting to help put together with the committee this fundraising event. And that was 11 years ago, probably at this point, maybe even longer. It was like a first introduction to the art world in the city. And, you know, after that first year, I think I was invited to join the Young Friends Committee.
Okay, that was going to be my next question. How long were you on the PMA Young Friends Committee?
So I was on the committee for 7 years. Of those 7 years, three of them I had the opportunity and the privilege of being co-chair, mostly with Danielle, who had been co-chair previous, and then they rotated me on after. We had a amazing opportunity to be a part of the museum's transition when COVID hit and trying to introduce and re-engage members during COVID through online membership programming, that they could be able to participate in the arts and be a part of the museum in a time where we were all stuck at home.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was
really
fun. I
imagine that was a challenge.
It was. It was. And because, you know, the museum itself had, you know, bureaucracy and challenges of trying to pivot quickly. Mm-hmm. I think we found better success of those changes at the ballet and with the Young Friends of the Ballet. They were more open to the opportunity. But once the museum got on board, it was truly amazing to see how far the reach is of the museum and how interested members still were to experience art.
Do you know how many members, how big the membership is?
So not from the museum as at a whole, but as the Young Friends of the Philadelphia Museum of Art ranged during my tenure from anywhere from at maybe at the lowest point, 250 Young Friends, to the highest point of 450 Young Friends. It's one of the largest art Young Friends professional groups throughout the entire city. It is a true force to reckon with when it comes to the Young Friends programming throughout the city.
Wow. Outside of Philadelphia, what is your favorite art museum? Try not to be basic about this.
So I can't just say the Louvre and leave it at that. I've loved an opportunity to see museums kind of wherever I wherever I travel to, mm-hmm. and or have the opportunity to travel to. What was really striking was when John and I went out skiing in Denver, Colorado, mm-hmm. and had an opportunity to go to the Denver Art Museum. It was so beautiful and had such a large breadth of artwork and artist that you can still see your favorites and your most famous, but also they had a very interesting intake of art, of new artists and contemporary artists at the museum. That was beautiful to see. Poor John, I drag him to many of art museums on our travels. And so I just have to make it quick. And I usually am. Mm-hmm. I can blow through a museum very fast while also trying to experience the beauty of it. Mm-hmm. And I love the way that art is... curated differently at each place, right? Mm-hmm. Leaning into the different architecture of the museums, let it be like an older European museum that has to work within the confines of, you know, a 300-400-year-old building, or something that's been constructed and brand new and has an opportunity to share art in a very different way. Those opportunities are always fascinating to me, as I kind of like to imagine what the behind the scenes curation is going on as I walk through a museum.
Pivoting from visual art to performance art, what is your favorite ballet and why?
Oh, my favorite.
Don't say Nutcracker.
No, never.
That's kind of an inside joke. Yes. Amongst those who perform ballet and watch it regularly. Okay, favorite ballet.
My favorite ballet is DGV, Danse à Grande Vitesse.
When was the last time Philadelphia Ballet has done it?
A very long time ago. Okay. And it was probably one of my favorites and one of my like first introductions mm-hmm. to Philadelphia Ballet. It started, I want to say, at New York City Ballet at the time. And it is a 31-minute ballet that introduces it's modern and pulls in the audience members to a very quick stepped ballet. Mm-hmm. It's very like, we're saying like runner-esque, mm-hmm. You know, movements. And it is constantly a nonstop movement piece throughout the entire stage. And so that is one of my favorites.
Where is your favorite place in the house to sit? Do you want to sit up front and get a really close view? Or do you want to sit maybe up in the nosebleeds? Which isn't actually such a bad
right
perspective, because you're getting an idea of what the formations are.
Yes.
So what do you pick?
So if it is the first time seeing a ballet, I want front row center. I want to see the beads of sweat coming off those dancers. I want to see every movement.
By it from
all
the,
of
from
it.
The,
all of it. Bring it on. Yes.
The flings of the sweat flinging off during a when pirouette.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Give it to you.
Yes. You know, we have the privilege of having a live orchestra at Philadelphia Ballet. So, you know, the opportunity to be able to listen and hear them and see the movements and see the conductor all at once and see every muscle be able to move and turn being completed is incredible. That being said, if I get to see it a second time, I want to be as far away as possible to see the entire piece move together. Mm-hmm. I've had the special privilege of joining some offstage dancers on like third balcony of the Academy of Music, and to be able to sit there with them and watch not only what's going on in stage, but seeing the audience's reaction to what's going on stage at the same time is it's such a magical moment that I wish everybody got to see. I wish that you could do like musical chairs throughout the ballet performance. So it would be multiple times seeing maybe the same ballet, but you could see it from multiple perspectives. Yeah. And look, and that's why I think it's great that we have the opportunity to see it over multiple days, over multiple nights. I love to go, let's go opening night. So then if I ever want to see it again, there's definitely some more opportunities to be able to experience from the audience perspective.
Robert, for those who don't know, what do you do during your 9-to-5? Because this is clearly not our main hustle.
Yeah, that's true. It's not paying the bills yet, this guys. Not paying the bills. My 9-to-5 is accounting. And you're like, what? An art enthusiast that does numbers all day? Yes. Yes, I do. And so
balance, people.
Yes, it is. I started out of college at a hotel management firm, and then that had transitioned into private equity. And now I work for an amazing nonprofit called Independent Mission Schools that serves about 3,500 students in the city of Philadelphia in neighborhoods that would normally not have the opportunity to have these private education opportunities in their backyard. And so it's very rewarding.
Okay, we're going to move into rapid fire questions. We got to try to keep these rapid.
Perfect.
All right. If you had to pick one wing of the PMA to save in a fire, which one would it be?
Oh, super easy, modern. I love every part of it.
Okay, on that note, Marcel Duchamp's urinal, is it art?
Oh, is it? It has to be. It has to be. Okay. I mean, you just take a urinal off the wall and just stick your name on it? Sure. Call it whatever you want.
Okay. I have the value written down. Do you want to guess how much it's worth?
No way. You looked this up?
You only had to Google it.
Oh, this is incredible. I have, oh my gosh. Like at an auction or?
I think what it is valued at.
Oh, that's amazing.
Do you want to guess?
$1.5 million.
$1.8 million. You weren't so far off.
Not bad. Not bad.
Okay. Marcel Duchamp's Anton Donay, or the English name, The Waterfall, is it art?
Yes.
Okay. Hey, guys, I'm going to put that in the show notes. We're going to put an explicit label on this.
Yeah.
On this
podcast. It's shocking when you walk up to it. And so if anyone doesn't know, this Marcel Duchamp's exhibit is probably all the way at the end of the wing of the
last
modern
stop.
Yes, of the modern art wing. It's so good.
If you had to pick one creative technical role to fill in a ballet production, non-dance related, what would it be? Would you want to design costumes, or would you want to work on set design or lighting?
Can I choose advocacy?
No. What's advocacy? Is that the development role?
Yes.
No, you can't choose that.
Why not? I love that part. No, okay. So I want to be the curtain puller. It's the best role outside of the dancer. You get to start the production and end the production. And if I could add one more, which I think this person should do the same thing, I want to be the person behind the stage that introduces the pieces and thanks the audience.
And tells everybody not to take photographs.
Exactly. Turn off your phones. Turn off your phones. Guys. If they're going off in the middle of production, I'm coming after you.
You don't need to. The ushers do a fantastic job of that, as I saw during Swan Lake. Yes. There was a rogue guy in like the second row openly photographing.
Oh, guys, do not
be that
distract
guy.
Distract the dancers.
Do not be that guy. Okay, next question, rapid fire again. Philadelphia Ballet released their programming for the 2025-2026 season. What production are you most excited about?
I'm super excited about their special Halloween series.
The Night of Terror.
Yes. Cannot wait.
I cannot wait to get over the photograph for that.
Oh my gosh, you're
right.
There's
a power pose on it.
Oh yes.
And it involves an axe, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Yes. So good. Last question. Fuck, marry, kill. Claude Monet, Henri Matisse, Georgia O'Keeffe.
I would kill Monet.
I knew you were going to say that.
Not my favorite.
It's fine.
I would fuck George O'Keefe. And I want to marry Matisse. I never want to leave his side.
He's so good.
Yes.
All right, Robert. Thank you for sitting down with me and agreeing to do this.
Thanks, Lucinda. It was absolute pleasure.
And as always, Philly has heart.
And art.
George O'Keefe.
You know, she's in the same Greek organization.
No way. Are you serious? Wow.
Uh-huh. We're sisters.